Hi Dominique. Thanks so much for joining us again. There's been obviously a lot going on this week, so perhaps we can just sort of kick off with a quick brief rundown of what exactly we saw in last week's data and all the going on in the US we've had.
Oh, lots of to and fro. So the most important one was the GDP blew past expectation, 4.9%, when the Fed trend estimate is 1.8%. Bottom line, a lot of the growth was due to specific Q3 factors that are unlikely to get replicated. For instance, swing in inventories. But having looked at the data with a fine comb, I'm actually thinking that growth in Q4 is likely to remain above trend. I think, between say 2.25 to 2.5% would make sense to me. So not great news for the Fed.
Absolutely not. And has there been any sort of major driver? I mean, I think we saw savings rates are coming down still.
So the macro drivers are unchanged in my view. Super loose fiscal, loose money. We just saw this morning low household savings rates. That's supporting consumption, even though disposable income is going through a wriggle, mainly due to lower government transfers, which I don't think will last. You also had things like the end, or if you will, the residential real estate troughing. That's it. The contribution is no longer negative, the contribution to growth. I also think that going forward, the recovery in manufacturing we're seeing in the US is going to lift non-residential investment. So you have, plus and minus stories. An interesting one is how the structure of US consumption is changing. People are buying fewer cars, many more computers, which I think reflects that working from home has remained more prevalent after the pandemic. And that gives more volatility to consumption because spending on durables is much more volatile than spending on services on non-durable. So there are lots of little stories which I have explained in my detailed review. But the bottom line is that whether you take a top-down approach, so looking at the big macro driver, or bottom-up, looking in details at the composition of spending, you don't see growth headed below trend, basically.
Excellent. That'll be very, very important for this week. Obviously, going into the Fed, hopefully, it's going to be an interesting one. What are your kind of thoughts around that at this stage?
My thoughts are we're going to see the what I call the octopus economist, the multi-handed economist, who is going to, engage in a lot of on the one hand, on the other hand. So on the one hand, inflation growth is proving persistently stronger than the Fed has been telling us for the past year. And the Fed keeps telling us that a growth slowdown is around the corner, but not happening. On top of that, it looks like disinflation is about to end, or there are signs that inflation is stabilizing, which is really not great news for the Fed. I personally think that it reflects a stabilization of energy prices. My view all along has been that disinflation was largely energy prices, increased labor supply with more foreign workers, but energy prices played a big role. So you're starting to see that in the relationship between month-on-month core or median price inflation and energy prices. So that's not good news either. But on the other hand, the bond market has been selling off for months. The FOMC is finally taking notice, and there's been all this conversation about higher bond yields, tighter FCI, financial conditions indices, which could remove the need for further hikes. I mean, the problem with this view, of course, is that the Fed now has its own indices of financial conditions, and one of them, I mean, both of them, they have two, and both of them shows that the worst of the tightening is behind us, that financial conditions, one in the index shows that financial conditions are negative for growth, but it's becoming less and less important. And the other one shows that financial conditions are actually neutral for growth. So I'd be curious to see how Chair Powell handles this. I expect him to leave the door open to more hikes. This is what he said in his latest speech, and basically wait and see whether the higher bond yields are slowing US growth.
Absolutely, and you still retain expectations for another hike, probably in December, is that right?
Yeah, because I don't see FCI having much of an impact on the real economy. This is what I wrote actually more than a year ago, and
Yeah.
so far it's played out as I thought.
Yeah, and sorry. I mean, obviously, last week we had a very boring ECB, I would say. Do you think there's anything sort of areas within the Fed that may sort of spark quite a bit of interest, or is there anything that you might be sort of watching for indications that they are teeing up for a December hike, or would they just keep that, play those cards close to their chest for now?
Remember, we are deciding meeting by meeting based on all the accumulated information. So I don't think we will get more than that, but I think the meeting could be more hawkish than market expects because everything I've seen suggests market participants are focusing on the pause rather than and seeing it as a sign that the Fed is done. And I don't think that is the case.
No, absolutely. And is there anything else sort of next week? There's quite a bit of stuff on, isn't there? Are there any other sort of data points that you sort of want to highlight?
Lots of data points. Obviously, the NFP. I find the consensus forecast of about 170K a little timid. So I see a scope for a positive surprise, but to be honest, even if the data, if the NFP is around 200, as I expect, it won't change the big picture. And the big picture is tight labor markets, but no acceleration in wages, largely because of an increase in the number of foreign born workers, which is a an administration policies have liberalized legal immigration, possibly to mitigate the impact of their mega stimulus of 2021. We shall see, but that's my expectation. We have a few other data points on the labor market, employment cost index, where the consensus seems reasonable to me. The problem, it's backward looking, so it's Q3. What's really important is how wages are reacting to the stabilization of headline inflation. So we won't get that from the ECI. We get the JOLTS, which you know I don't like because actual hires are such a small fraction of openings. I don't think openings are a very meaningful number. We will get jobs plentiful minus hard to find in the consumer confidence survey, probably a bit weaker or moving sideways. But the most important data on the labor market is the NFP. Then we'll get the PMIs. I think on the manufacturing PMI, the consensus is it moving sideways. I think we've had quite a few signs of a manufacturing recovery. I mean, we are troughing. I mean, whether it's regional manufacturing surveys or even chip prices, which is tends to be a coincident indicator for US manufacturing. So there I see a possibility for a small positive surprise. We'll also get productivity numbers and another strong increase in productivity, which makes sense, and a slowdown in unit labor cost, which is very consistent with the equity analysts telling us that we're about to see a recovery in profit. So, I mean, employment is growing more slowly than GDP. That's the productivity increase. Wages are increasing, real wages are increasing by less than productivity, which means it's profits that are benefiting. So this is actually quite positive for the equity market, since the high productivity, low wage growth also suggests that inflation downside, at least for now, could be contained. I mean, of course, this is Q3 data. Let's see what happens going forward. And then we will get our housing price data, which no surprise there, it's up. This is a recovery driven by lack of supply rather than a strong demand. So not what the Fed would like again, but yeah, likely to be up. So that's more or less my expectations for next week's data.
Excellent. No, thanks for that. Still very much looking through the single results and taking things sort of holistically as being sort of the best kind of strategy, which has worked very well so far, to be fair. As always, thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm just going to do a quick little rattle through some of the stuff we've put out, but it's always a pleasure. So, I mean, just in terms of interesting pieces, I think we put out last week that I would sort of highlight to clients. Obviously, I said, as mentioned, the ECB wasn't that interesting. We've got a reaction out to that, but there are sort of interesting things to pull from it, and especially in terms of what they end up deciding on in terms of QT acceleration. That could be that's certainly gaining ground in their discussions and how that might affect Italian spreads. So that's what we sort of ran through in our Global Rates Weekly, as well as having a look at the US Treasury supply and why it's keeping yields there high. Obviously, we do have all of Dom's views, so you can check out her GDP reaction and also her Fed preview for much more information. And then we also have Varesh, very sort of timely, putting his Commodities Weekly on about the risk of sabotage on oil infrastructure and also the easing tightness in physical market. So we'd definitely recommend that as being very sort of timely right now. And finally, just for our pro subscribers, I would just sort of recommend to check out our sort of weekly webinar, which we now run on Wednesdays. There you can kind of hear from all of the, or most of the researchers, especially the ones that are relevant in the week, on all our main views in a sort of quite a timely manner, and also ask questions as well. So good to hear from the likes of Dom and myself and Mirza and all the others. So as well as Bilal, obviously. So please do check that out, and we do also sort of keep the recording. So that's all for that. Thank you once again, Dom. It's been very informative.
Henry, it's been fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Have a great weekend.
Cheers, you too.
Henry, you are a pro.